So our first speaker is Nick Medlett, and Nicholas is a senior researcher at NHMRC, Surveillance Evaluation and Research Program of the Kirby Institute, University of New South Wales. He's also a sexual health physician with 22 years of practice. He's been a high caseload GP in Melbourne and has worked extensively in international region on HIV programs in Asia and in Australia. And there's many more things we could say about you, Nick. It's quite... but thank you.
I'm actually going to be mainly talking about PrEP and ART access in newly arrived Asian-born men who have sex with men, though I think actually the what we're talking about in today's session can apply to a bunch of different subpopulations. So this is notifications in Australia, in Australian-born MSM and overseas-born MSM. So I think we know by 2019 that we've got a situation here. We've got a very serious situation where we have this absolutely massive investment in biomedical HIV prevention, and we're talking about tens to hundreds of millions of dollars a year. And we're protecting basically about half of the affected population. So what do we do? Do we double our investment to get to the other half, or do we need to do something a little bit differently? But I think this should be a matter of great concern to us. And I'd just like to talk about a little bit about what we know, what's going on here, and then, frankly, to abuse my position of standing at the podium to make some unfounded speculations about what might be going on and what we need to do about it. So this is some research that we did at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. Some questions that get asked about this graph, are these new infections or have people become exposed to HIV and then come to Australia HIV positive and then getting diagnosed? So this data here is new infections. So we removed from our data set at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre anybody who hadn't had an HIV test in the last year, a negative HIV test in the last year. And down here we've got the rate of new HIV infections in non-Asian-born, newly arrived overseas, men who have sex with men, and a newly arrived. And so just incredible, really, divergence that we saw over 2014, 15, 16, 17. A couple of things I also want you to look at here is this effect began in 2015, which is before we had large-scale PrEP scale up in Victoria. So at least the beginning of the decline in HIV in the general population, I think, was a treatment as prevention. You know, we know that the gay men in Australia have embraced treatment, have embraced testing, have embraced early diagnosis, and this is our positive brothers and sisters that we can thank for the beginning of this, and then I think we can really look at PrEP for taking it from there. So there's more new infection in Asian-born people who've just arrived in Australia. There is also more established infection. So this is 100 newly diagnosed, newly arrived Asian-born men who have sex with men, Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, Sydney Sexual Health Centre and RPA. So 55% had a less than 350 CD4 cells at diagnosis, a definition of a late diagnosis, compared to 22%. And 15% is what we would call an early diagnosis, as a close to 55%. I think it nicely indicates a completely different presentation. 29% never tested, 61% international students, and I don't know why it's here, but I think 88% with no Medicare cards. And out of these late diagnoses, you know, any of us working in this area, a lot of them are very late diagnoses. We certainly, I was interested to see it's been observed in Sydney, but in Melbourne we've seen people come to their diagnosis via the intensive care ward with, you know, horrible cerebral toxoplasmosis, for example, like we've not seen for decades in Australia. So this is part of the cascade of care. So this is just Southeast Asian born people. The little bits of data that we've got in Victoria, and certainly the much more impressive data that's coming out of New South Wales, is that the it's the newly arrived proportion of these of this subpopulation that's representing most of the delayed diagnosis. But you can see a 27% undiagnosed fraction in people born in Southeast Asia in the national cascades. And this graph from Preeta Patel and Philip Keane. So this is the undiagnosed proportion in Australian-born men who have sex with men, 8%, about 7% down to about 3 to 4. This is in New South Wales, I understand. And this is the undiagnosed proportion. So what is this doing to the HIV epidemic here? This means that we're very... This is what I think has done the early reductions in notifications. We just don't have all that many Australian-born MSM in Australia that have undiagnosed HIV infection or untreated HIV infection. But that can't be said for people that have newly arrived from overseas. And actually, this is just overseas-born. If we were able to break this down by newly arrived overseas-born, it would be much higher. So I think this is sort of explaining a little bit what's going on, what's going on here, is that we're seeing this increased rate of notifications. We have an increased prevalent infections. So people arriving in Australia HIV positive, we've all seen a few of those. But this subgroup, once they get here, continue to be at increased risk. I don't think we understand very well why that is. I think we have an hypothesis. My hypothesis, and I've said this at this conference before, is that newly arrived overseas born men who have sex with men are somewhat more likely than the rest of the population to have newly arrived overseas born MSM as partners. It doesn't need to be anything exclusive or anything, it just needs to be somewhat more likely. So their sexual partners are quite a bit more likely to have undiagnosed and untreated HIV infection, so they're much more likely to be exposed to HIV, whatever their sexual practices are. So why have notifications declined in Australia? Early diagnosis, low undiagnosed fraction, high rates of treatment uptake. And the reason I think why PrEP has been so successful was because undetectable viral load was already interrupting transmission chains in Australia before this came along. Now, we don't have early diagnosis in overseas-born MSM. We've got a high undiagnosed fraction. You can't have high rates of treatment uptake if you don't know your HIV status. So if we're going to rely on PrEP to eliminate new HIV transmissions in this population, we're going to need a lot of it. In fact, we're going to need more of it than we do in everybody else. So when you hear presentations about PrEP access in people without Medicare cards, you need to ask yourself, will this achieve a coverage which is greater than in Medicare card holders? Because that's what we're going to need. So this is just a small study that we did at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. So this is HIV subtype. At diagnosis, at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, among people that were born in Australia or have been in Australia more than 5 years. So this is excluding the population that we're talking about. And this curve here is the proportion with a non-B subtype. And it's gone from 8% to 32% in 5 years. Now, what does that mean? I'd like to demonstrate to the health departments around Australia that there was a substantial financial cost associated with not giving free treatment to non-Medicare card holders. And I think this transition, I can't say that this ongoing rates is related to mixing of populations, but I think the rapid transition from a non-B subtype to a... B subtype to a non-B subtype epidemic indicates that, in fact, we've got these two, or we've had these two related epidemics, and we've suppressed one, and the other we haven't suppressed. That's one hypothesis that clearly needs to be further understood. So that's the data, and this is now is the idle speculation. What are the obstacles to successful biomedical HIV prevention? You know, people say to me, oh, well, you know, you clinicians have this sort of very limited way of looking at the world and it's all about healthcare access. I don't think the problem is all about healthcare access. I think the solution is about healthcare access, however. So the sophistication required to navigate complexity of HIV prevention. You know, there are many different HIV statuses these days. There's positive, negative, undetectable viral load, on PrEP, not on PrEP, etc. And somebody who arrives in Australia, you know, how long does it take them to work out what the hell's going on? It's some time. Clearly, there's issues around language and culture. There's issues around perception and understanding and risk. We're doing some qualitative stuff at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre. And, you know, people arrive in Australia, or a lot of people arrive in Australia with a lot of these misconceptions that we spend decades working out against. The, you know, if you're good looking, you're more likely to be negative, or if you look healthy, or if you've got clean fingernails, you know, all these sorts of things that we really, myths and biases that we really did a lot of work to overcome. HIV health literacy, and this is a big issue that I think that we can't, you know, discrimination in immigration. It doesn't matter whether the immigration department is intending to discriminate or not, that doesn't matter, but they are discriminating. So if you're HIV positive, you are less likely to get your permanent residency. One of the reasons why a lot of people want to come to Australia is that they want to emigrate. So how is that going to distort patterns of testing and patterns of treatment uptake? You know, if I had to make a choice between or run the risk between returning back to my home country in which being gay or being HIV positive was discriminated against, or they wanted to run the gauntlet here of seeing how long I could go without being tested. I'm not saying whether deferring testing is an effective strategy in protecting yourself against that, but you can really understand why people might arrive at that. Why do we have late diagnosis, limited free testing sites, a fear of losing your visa, discrimination and a lot of internalised stigma from the country of origin, and again, some people have avoided testing in their country of origin. Treatment access is very non-uniform. United Kingdom and New Zealand and the United States of America will pay for treatment for people who don't have healthcare access. The great state of Western Australia pays for ART for people who don't have Medicare cards, and South Australia as well. It's a cost-effective public health intervention. You know, if we were having this discussion about tuberculosis treatment, people would just laugh at you. If I diagnosed somebody with TB, then I had to send a form off so that the company would donate me a bit of free anti-tubercular treatment. People would laugh at me. The compassionate access programs, I wonder how sustainable they are. There are problematic relationships with companies. You know, we have regulations. You know, if treating doctors get into these relationships with companies, we get our name in the newsletter, name in the newspaper, all this sort of stuff. But we're doing this to get compassionate access. So at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, we've got about 260 people on compassionate access programs. I calculate it's about $2.8 million a year. That's not an enormous amount of money, I don't think, for a state of Victoria. So the question is free ART, is it politically accepted? Are people going to be fear of attracting HIV-positive migrants? I don't personally have a problem. I don't have a problem with that. I would like to throw our doors open to HIV-positive people from all over the world to come and live here. But some people might, and I guess we would need to prepare arguments against that. And we certainly don't want to necessarily see increased discrimination in the process. It's my belief that small demonstration projects might tell us how we're going to get there, but it will not result in coverage of PrEP or ART, nor will international importation. It's wonderful. I don't want to in any way criticise it, but we're not going to get 70 or 80 or 90 or 95% of international students or temporary visas holders who are short of money, who are trying to make their way in a foreign land, to be personally importing. I believe that PrEP will need to be locally subsidised. So in conclusion, 0 seconds left in my talk, failing to provide adequate HIV prevention and treatment to people living in Australia is intolerable, it is unethical, and it's irresponsible. And elimination of HIV transmission through biomedical prevention will fail while there is unequal coverage of ART and PrEP. Thank you very much.